We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Ooh, listen to this one that just came in from Russia. Police there say a cannibal zombie killer has murdered and eaten 11 people. A 23-year-old cannibal man is accused of this horrific crime. They say that he killed, well, at least 9 people. He used a common kitchen knife, and his favorite target was homeless people. They say that he buried the remains of half-eaten corpses near the town of Belinsky. Human remains have been uncovered in numerous cases. They say, quote, in 2 cases, after the murder, he separated the heart from the body to eat the human heart later, end quote. Law enforcement officers claim that he was also eating the livers of his victims raw as well. Maybe with a nice Chianti. Why did he do this? To impress his girlfriend. Apparently she thought that was going to be really cool. And I wonder what the girlfriend's been up to. Maybe she had some delicacies as well. Oh, my goodness. What can I tell you? That's how we start a Christmas edition of this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Well, the 21st has come and gone.
We lived. We made it. Can you believe that, Forrest? But, on the other hand, I think a lot of the events are just now beginning to transpire.
True.
So, we don't really want to dig into the December 21st phenomenon just yet. I think we'll save that until we see how everything transpires.
Right, how it pans out, because, you know, there's, like you said, a lot of stuff's not been reported yet. A lot of stuff is like, might be hype from what's happened, what's not really happened.
That's right. We have to wait for news to make its way into the internets, the interwebs. But therefore, tonight, we are not going to focus on any of the doomsday and weird December 21st talk. We are going to focus on the fact that it's 3 days till Christmas. And so that's why this is our big Christmas edition of the show. And how could we have it without the sparkling red-haired angel named Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, right in the thick of it all. How are you doing tonight, Shelley Wright?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm worn out also, frankly. Yeah, I'm worn out. I know you're tired, Forrest.
I am.
We're all worn out.
But you've got your nice Christmas hat on, your Christmas Santa hat on tonight.
Give me another 30 years, I will be the perfect Santa.
You will. I mean, from the way your father looks and the kind of beard he can grow and
exactly.
The kind of beard you can grow.
You can see the white already starting to emerge. I've got the big lips, the rosy cheeks, the twinkle in my eye. Now, you know, once Santa was thought to be an elfish little man, but now people want the big, jolly Coca-Cola Santa, and I think I'm heading in that direction. That's my retirement plan, basically. But, you know, Forrest, we could do worse with you as well, you know. You might end up being a pretty good Santa Claus.
I could probably pull it off if I had to.
But frankly, I think you would make a much better Krampus.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I can honestly see you as the Krampus.
Well, I can just follow in your footsteps. The Krampus follows in Santa's footsteps, but comes before Santa, doesn't he?
No. You've forgotten the Krampus already?
Well, I know the Krampus, but I thought he preceded or followed the Santa Claus.
Well, my understanding is in the Germanic traditions, and we're actually going to dig into the Krampus a lot during the second hour of the show. If the kid is nice, Santa comes. If the kid's naughty, the Krampus comes. And the Krampus is horrific. I mean, the kind of thing that can scar a kid for life. Because the Krampus is supposed to eat you, you know, and he is a scary... Even as a grown man, I look at pictures of the Krampus, and I become frightened. I quiver. I withdraw.
Shudder in your boots.
Exactly. I shudder into the shadows. You know the Krampus, Shelley, right?
Yes.
So, hour two tonight... we are going to kind of divide into three basic stages. The first part of hour two, we're going to talk about the real Santa Claus sightings that occur every year. Real Santa sightings, three of our favorite subjects. The second part of hour two, we're going to talk about this horrible, violent, terrible thing that happened in 1929 here in our state of North Carolina. White Christmas, Bloody Christmas. We're going to tell you about the Charlie Lawson murders that happened on Christmas Day. Very uplifting. And then, of course, we get into the Krampus before we go into the Dark 30 hour. Everything will be Christmassy, but some of it will be very, very dark and twisted and disturbing. But that's okay, because let's face it, when everybody's supposed to be all joyous and happy and celebratory, that also brings out the dark side. And Shelley Wright, I know you guys have been slammed there at Wright's Coin Shop.
We have.
Have you been shipping a lot of stuff?
We have been shipping a few things. We have.
Have you shipped anything to Nebraska? Does that ring a bell?
No, haven't shipped anything to Nebraska.
Well, that's probably a good thing for your customers, because we have a little public service announcement here. They say that if you live, especially around the area of Papillon, Nebraska, maybe they call it Papillion, but I'm a cultured man, so I call it Papillon. And you've been waiting on a FedEx package for a couple of weeks now, you're not alone. Because a FedEx driver there, actually a driver that was taking packages headed in that direction at the depot in Kansas City, was spotted getting out of his truck in a rage and just kicking packages out of the back of his truck onto the street. A local inspector there has told the news, KETV, the driver has been fired. Because FedEx drivers are not supposed to kick packages onto the streets.
Really?
That is not part of their policy.
Really?
I know, it's surprising, isn't it? You'd think that would be acceptable this time of year, cut them a little slack, right? Says
basically, well, you know, he's claiming that, well, he just left the door open and some things fell out. But witnesses have said, hey, this guy is just, he flipped out and started kicking out packages. We're talking hundreds of packages. So right now, postal inspectors, they're using photocopies and scans of packages to figure out which ones are missing. They're scouring the area. They're trying to get them all, you know, collected again and redelivered. So, yeah. Do you send stuff via FedEx, Shelley?
Occasionally we do. Very occasionally.
Okay. So hopefully none of your customers will be affected.
Oh, no, they won't.
Okay. We are... Okay, we've got a couple minutes before our first break here. Before we start jumping into all of the crazy stuff that's happening around the world this time of year, I know that our great friend, the ultimate man, Dr. William R. Forstjohn, he's been visiting your shop, and he said that he contacted me. He said he talked to you, Shelley, and he found out about our big 13th night party that's coming up January 7th.
He is so excited.
He didn't even know about this.
No.
Bill Forstjohn calls me up, and here's the first thing he said to me was, Josh, you have a theremin? Oh, my God! I had no idea! And he proceeds to tell me what a huge fan of the theremin he is, because our 13th night party, which we're going to have on January 7th, is going to include a theremin concert given by yours truly. And again, for those who don't know, a theremin is the only instrument in the world that can be played without physical contact. It kind of looks like you're waving your hands around it. We've talked about this on the show before. So I recently bought a theremin. I've been learning to play it. And so I'm practicing up, and I am going to deliver a concert. Now, here's what I will tell you. When I do my theremin concert, I am not going to try to pretend that I can play the theremin well. But I think I can guarantee you it will be the best theremin playing you've ever heard in person. Because think about it. When have you ever seen somebody play the theremin in person? You have, Forrest?
I have.
No way!
Back when I worked in the nightclubs in downtown Asheville, there was a couple bands that did have a theremin.
You're kidding me.
And some of these guys could kick butt on the theremin.
I guess I can't say that, though.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing you play yet.
Yeah, that's right. It may be even more awesome. Well, they were with the band. It takes a little, you know, kahunas to just get out there and solo it.
It does.
I have maybe a little accompaniment. But, okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you guys about this 13th night party because we finally got all the pieces together. And hopefully, you know, we will have another program before the party. But just in case we don't, I'm going to take a little opportunity to tell everybody about it. And then we're going to just jump head first into weird stuff that's happening all around the world. This is our big holiday edition of the program. It's the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, keeping you company every Saturday night. We're happy that you have chosen to spend your Saturday evening with us. My name is Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange will kick off in full force right after this.
Police Navidad, Police Navidad.
Edition of Speaking of Strange. Can you believe it's Christmas already? Does it feel that way? I don't know. This year, it just doesn't kind of feel Christmassy. Why is that? In fact, if it didn't feel Christmassy to you already, listen to this. Here's a little bit of trivia. Did you know that Santa Claus didn't always have a beard? I mean, really? Come on. It's true, apparently. There's a book here, One Night Stands with American History. They claim that 17th century Dutch settlers brought the jolly fat man to America's shores, and their image of Santa was, quote, tall, slender, and very dignified, end quote, and he did not have his trademark beard. He was based on the traditional Dutch winter figure, Sinterklaas. And apparently it was an artist and political cartoonist named Thomas Nast who added the beard and that rotund figure we all love in the pages of Harper's Weekly in the late 1800s. How about that? Can you imagine Santa without a beard, Shelley Wright?
No, that's just crazy talk.
Yeah. That'll just shoot Christmas right out of the sky, won't
it?
So, if we had a time machine and we could travel back, who knows the stages that Santa's gone through. But, you know, we're going to talk more about that in the second hour of the program when we talk about people who have actually seen Santa Claus. So, before the break, we were talking about 13th Night, and if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you can read all about this party. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. This is an event I am producing, and it is a night to party and convene with the spiritual realm. Now, here's what this is all about. Since medieval times, cultures around the world have celebrated 12th Night, and now that's the 12th night after Christmas, as a time of merriment and the official start of the carnival season. But we, for the first and only time ever, are now going to present you with 13th Night. It's a night of shadows and mystery that will celebrate 2013 when the paranormal realm moves closer to the physical for the next 1,000 years. So basically, you show up, you dress as your favorite ghoul to win a prize. There's going to be a full liquor bar open there. You got to buy your drinks, but we'll have booze. We're going to be doing ghost hunts, running all throughout the big creepy mansion there, the Grove House, including the tunnels underneath. We're going to have fortune telling. I hear through the grapevine maybe a little belly dancing is going to be going on there. And indeed, I will be performing a short concert on my theremin. And Bill freaking Forsten is going to be there. He told me just last night he's going to be there. And Bill says, I need to contribute something to this. And I said, can you belly dance? And he said, no, but I'm really good at telling ghost stories. So right now, Bill is planning on bringing a bunch of photos from all of his adventures at these haunted places, Civil War sites and stuff. And he's going to tell some creepy stories. So here's kind of the policy for how 13th Night's going to work. It costs $10 to come. And if you buy your tickets in advance online, then you'll save some money and ensure your reservation. But if you have some special skill or talent that you would like to contribute, if you're a magician, if, you know, who knows, things I can't even imagine, if you have psychic talent, if you've got something interesting, you breathe fire, whatever, that you can contribute to this, then email me and tell me about what you can do. And if I think it's a good idea, then you can come for free, and you also can accept tips for whatever it is that you do. That's, you know, our way of appreciating it. Because, you know, it's a very loose format. But do you know, we already have people who are coming all the way from Ohio, I just found out, to do this. That's a long drive. So now the pressure is really on. You know, this is going to be a lot of fun. We may even expand this and make it bigger. But write this down. It's going to be at the Grove House, not the Grove Park Inn, okay? The Grove House in downtown Asheville on Monday, January 7th of 2013. It starts at 7 p.m. And it costs $10 per person. Only 21 and up, however, are allowed, because the bar will be open there. So show up with $10 cash or go to joshuapwarren.com and buy your ticket in advance. So, Shelley, are you going to do something crazy? Are you going to put on a show?
I don't know. We haven't talked about it.
So all I have to do is...
I'll be there.
I will command you to do something crazy and risque or something like that?
It doesn't quite work like that. Not quite.
So, Forrest, do you have any special talents that you can contribute to this big party?
13th Who knows? Night? I might do some aura reading.
Oh, that's right. Forrest did an excellent job reading auras on our cruise ship that we took down. Well, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, the A&E Television Network hired me to put together a psychic cruise years ago. And it was for their VIPs, their big top execs and sponsors and things. And so I put a staff together, including you, Forrest, to entertain these people. And you read everybody's auras, and some people were in tears. You just nailed them so perfectly deep inside. So you'd be willing to read auras?
I would be.
Wow. How do you like that? Now we have an aura reader.
Woohoo!
Okay. So, Shelley, we'll talk later about you.
Mm.
We'll figure out what you're going to contribute to this.
I just need to brush up on what my colors mean and all that good stuff. It's been a while since I did my research on what the colors were and all that good stuff.
I'll give you a little crash course in that.
Okay.
Catch you back up to speed on the proper interpretation of the colors. Here's a strange story from Pennsylvania. It says a Pennsylvania woman recently made a strange discovery inside her apartment. It says she came home and realized that someone had broken into her apartment when she was not home. And the perpetrator had gone through with super glue and just glued everything together. They glued her refrigerator door shut. They glued all of her drawers shut. They glued her keyboard to her desk and put glue all over the keys. Basically, they say that, you know, it was a gruesome discovery. And police have not found exactly who's responsible. They think it might be her ex-boyfriend. But, the guy just went through and glued it all together. So, that's one revenge tactic, I guess. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, looks like I have, a chupacabra story. A new sighting of the chupacabra. Where did it take place? Well, it's right here in the U.S. of A. I'll tell you when we return. It's the big holiday edition of the show. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Right here on your radio tonight, call your friends, call your loved ones, tell them to tune in. You will not be exposed to a better perspective on the Christmas season than we will provide for you this evening on Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Did you know that according to, I believe it's Forbes? Yep, Forbes. The richest man in the world is Santa Claus. They've compiled a list. I mean, I'm talking about people like Scrooge McDuck was in there, Richie Rich. All these people are in there, and they came to the conclusion Santa Claus is the richest figure that has ever been imagined by the mind of man. So they say right now there's a man named Carlos Slim Helou. He's a Mexican, and they say he has $74 billion. Nothing. Nothing compared to Santa Claus. That's why he's so jolly.
Quite amazing.
Yeah, and yet he's still so giving, so generous. What a model for all of us, Santa Claus. Well, some people don't believe Santa Claus exists, of course. But we do. And we're going to give you an explanation for that. I don't care. I don't care if you're all grown up. You see, I kind of struggled with this, I'll be honest with you, because when I was a kid and I was told that there was Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and all this stuff, I believed it. And then I reached a point in my life when I didn't believe any of that was true. And I was so angry that I'd been betrayed, that this was a huge conspiracy, that I became a conspiracy theorist. I started hanging out with people like Jim Mars. And I realized this whole world was just a big illusion that had basically targeted me as a child, and I felt mentally violated. But then I came full circle, and then I realized when I went through the next phase of my life, oh my goodness, Santa is real. The Tooth Fairy is real. The Easter Bunny is real. They're just tulpas, you see. They actually exist. So now, I feel like my kind of, you know, rebellious phase is behind me now. I've matured into a man who has that true Christmas spirit once again. Do you feel like you have the Christmas spirit, Shelley, right?
I have more of a Christmas spirit than you do.
You think?
I think. Mm. I do.
Oh, no. I guess it's the red hair. Do you ever wear a sprig of holly in your hair?
No.
Why not?
I never thought about it before.
It belongs there.
Goes so well with my hair.
Yeah, yeah. People think of cinnamon and nutmeg and Rudolph and holly and red things. So you should have red hair. In fact, I have some news about Rudolph I'm going to share a little later in the show. She looks Christmassy. You and I look curmudgeonly, don't we, Farce?
We do.
Yes. I'm even dressed Christmassy.
What are you wearing there? Okay, I'll let you describe that. Okay, never mind. You're just going to have to go to 13th Night if you want to see what Shelley Wright looks like. Or go to Wright's Coin Shop. Well, you know, there are people who believe the Chupacabra is not real. And I get phone calls all the time. In fact, I got a phone call just a couple days ago from a TV production company that's going down to Puerto Rico, one of my favorite stomping grounds, and they're asking me questions about the Chupacabra. Now, let me clarify something about the Chupacabra. Here in the United States, people think of the Chupacabra as these mangy coyotes that are found breaking into hen houses in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. That is not at all what the original Chupacabra looks like. The original Chupacabra comes from Puerto Rico, around the Ayunque rainforest, and it looks like an alien. It's about 4 feet tall. It's upright. It's kind of reptilian looking. It's got spines that run down its back. It's got these big, shiny black eyes. It's got little wings, and sometimes when the Chupacabra is approached, it just zooms up into the sky. It spirits itself away in almost a blurry tornado of energy like the Tasmanian devil, and it just whips away into the sky. So this is clearly a creature not of this world. So whenever I hear that there has been a Chupacabra sighting, I wonder which are they talking about? Are they talking about what the American ranchers are calling a quote-unquote Chupacabra, or are they talking about the real interdimensional weirdy Chupacabra? Well, this is from Louisville, Kentucky, and there they say something is on the prowl, attacking animals and leaving them for dead. People say this creature attacked 6 goats, 5 of which had to be put down, and 4 calves in the past couple weeks. The deputy county judge executive says, quote, it's not doing it to kill the animal to eat. These animals are just being mauled. That's where the mystery is at this point, end quote. Neighbors say it lurks in the woods, only comes out at night, and yet no one has seen the creature. They found tracks, they say. Well, but they don't say what the tracks look like in this news story. They say that right now they've got trail cameras out, they've set traps, but they say, quote, it looks like it's smarter than we are, end quote. So, you know, it's a little odd that the headline is, Chupacabra attacking livestock. They just assume because livestock's being attacked by some strange thing, it should be a chupacabra. But they have no idea what this thing is. It could be anything. And it is odd, obviously, that the animals are being mauled. But also, when I read stories like this, it reminds me of an experience that I had when I was a kid. I grew up on a piece of land that was kind of like a farm. We had a lot of animals. And one day my dad found that some of the chickens on our property were being drained of blood. And it didn't appear that the chickens had been eaten in any way. They were just drained of blood. And this went on day after day after day. Finally, my dad decided to set up a trap. So he took some sort of bloody meat and he put it in a little lot and he put it right in the middle of sort of, I think it was like an old muskrat trap my dad had, which is like a little bear trap. And that night, the dogs start going nuts and we stuck our head outside the door and we heard the chain and the trap all, you know, clanging around. So, of course, we're very excited. We run up there with flashlights. My dad shines the light into the lot, and here, with its toe stuck in the trap, is the biggest, most puffed-up, angry-looking, great-horned owl I've ever seen, with big, bright, shiny eyes. It was an amazing, impressive sight. This is like something you would see in a museum, like at the Natural History Museum. And so we were just, you know, fascinated by this, so we talk about, well, how do we deal with this? Because if you got near that thing, I mean, it would rip your eyeballs out, big talons, you know. So my dad got a big, long pole and stuck it into the lot and was able to push the release lever so it could get its toe out. And there was a crate there that had been turned upside down, and this owl retreated into the crate. And after that, we just left it alone. We came back, like, 10, 15 minutes later, and it was gone. We never saw that owl again, and there was never another chicken with its blood sucked. But I believe to this day, whether or not owl experts even claim they behave this way, that that great horned owl was vampirically sucking the blood out of these chickens. And you know how birds have a little tongue that'll stick out and lick things? I bet I can just imagine what it would look like for this owl to be licking out blood. So owls can be little vampires. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but it's an example of strange things that animals will do from time to time. So we'll keep our eye on that. I've got another story here from closer to home. It's from Lancaster, South Carolina. Now, that's a spooky place. In fact, we investigated a haunted farm in Lancaster that I wrote about in my book, Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from the Grave. But this one doesn't have to do with that kind of a pet. When we come back, I will explain the strange situation and why a man has been arrested there. It has to do with something that jumped out of his trunk of his car. Yeah. It's the show where we dig into all the weird stuff. And believe me, my friends, it gets much, much weirder. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to the special holiday edition of Speaking of Strange.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. They only come to town about twice a year.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's truly a real honorable experience to be here this evening. A very wonderful and warm and emotional moment for all of us. And I'd like to sing a song for all of you. It's Christmas in heaven. All the children sing.
It's Christmas in heaven. Hark, hark, those church bells ring. It's Christmas in heaven. The snow falls from the sky. But it's nice and warm and everyone looks smart and wears a tie. Christmas in heaven, there's great films on TV. The sound of music twice an hour, and Jaws 1, 2, and 3.
There's gifts for all the family, the toys, the trees, and the
brains. Yes, I love my headphone sets and the latest video games.
It's Christmas in heaven.
In the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, that Christmas music is much better with the video, as Forrest knows.
Oh, yeah.
Shelley has no idea what we're talking about. from Monty Python. Hey, listen, guys, if you are if you're listening to the show and you're near your computer, go to speakingofstrange.com, and you'll find a live chat during the show, more information on topics discussed, links to cool stuff like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. Yes, they are still going to be taking place for a little while, and we'll have some ghost hunts. Go to hauntedasheville.com. Good news, Forrest and Shelley. I just got an email from Josh Orek, who directed all of our Warner Brothers stuff,
right,
for The Apparition. And he wrote and said that he apologized for not getting in touch with us a little sooner, that he got just now received some copies of the movie from Warner Brothers, and he's sending us a little batch for the holidays.
Yay!
Nice!
Yeah. So, because you don't have one yet, Forrest.
I don't.
And you don't have one, Shelley.
No.
I actually purchased mine, just like all the little people. All you little people out there.
I think I asked for one for Christmas.
Can you imagine? I had to reduce myself to that level, Shelley. I had to buy things like a regular man. What is the world coming to?
Horror.
The world has ended for me now. but no, that's very cool. So, but now you are going to have to go buy your Blu-ray. Well, we'll see what they send us.
I asked for one of those for Christmas,
oh,
too.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Santa's very good to me.
So, well, I don't know. You might be getting the Krampus this year.
Why?
Yeah,
Santa and I have an understanding.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have a feeling. So, we live in Asheville, North Carolina. A few hours down the road is Lancaster, South Carolina. And here's a weird story from Lancaster. A man, a 33-year-old man, was on his way to the local Christmas parade. And police noticed that he was driving a car with the wrong license plate. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but they pulled him over. And as the cops were talking to the man, all of a sudden, his trunk of his car popped open, and four children hopped out.
Wow.
They weren't Christmas elves, okay? Four kids. The youngest was 11 years old. And, of course, can you imagine the look on the cop's face? And the cop gets to ask that famous question for us.
Why did you do this?
And he just said, I was taking them to the Christmas parade. And that's where they get to ride. So, the guy did not have a driver's license, And so he is now arrested. He's facing charges including child endangerment and possession of stolen property. I guess that must be the license plate. Yeah. So, Lancaster, South Carolina. What a weird place that is. You went down there, Shelley.
Yes.
It used to be Lynn Jackson's haunted farm.
Right.
And now our friend John owns it.
Yes.
And what do they call it now?
Times Past Haunted Farm,
yeah.
I believe.
I haven't talked to John in a while.
No, they are the nicest people.
Yeah.
And that is the hottest place on earth.
It gets super hot there sometimes, yeah. Not this time of year, I bet, but yeah. Mm. And, it's just a weird place altogether. Lancaster is just strange.
It is. I got some weird photos in their barn.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You got a lot of crazy stuff. And I remember when we were doing our initial investigations down there, as you can read about in the book, Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from Beyond the Grave. There were sometimes when Lynn Jackson would tell people, are you sure you want to come down here? Because sometimes bad things would befall people who would investigate there. So, spooky place. I guess Lancaster is just one of those mystery portals. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, hour number two will ensue. And for hour number two, we are going to dig into some of our favorite Christmas time topics here. We're going to talk about the real Santa Claus sightings. I'm going to tell you a horrible story about a terrible event that happened in North Carolina on Christmas Day of 1929. And then we're going to get into, the Krampus. Things you probably don't even know about the Krampus. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.